If you would open your Bibles to the book of Titus, and as we take time to examine the text, Titus chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. Here we find the writing of Paul to Titus, an individual that he had a personal working in his life in bringing him to the knowledge and the understanding of Jesus Christ. In Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, a faith and knowledge resting on the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and at his appointed season he brought his word to light through the preaching and entrusted to me by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. We come to a place in the book of Titus in regard to understanding the ministry of God's servant. I call this message today the ministry of God's servant. Paul always declared his relationship to God and the Lord Jesus. When writing a letter, he wanted no questions about who he was nor about what his purpose was. Paul's focus was upon Christ and his glorious gospel that offered eternal life to men. From the first to the last, Paul was the servant of God and the messenger of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's servant receives the greatest of calls. God's true servant is called to be a slave of God and an apostle or a messenger of Jesus Christ. So the first point I want to make here is about his great call. We see this in verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Paul says that he was a slave of God. You know, this is striking. Why? The last thing that a person wants to be is a slave to anybody. Yet, this is exactly what Paul claimed. In fact, he proudly declared that he was the slave of God. What did Paul meant? What does he mean here? Well, he meant that he was totally possessed by God. God had looked upon Paul and seen his degraded and needful condition. God had seen Paul in the slave market of the world and held in bondage by sin and death, the troubles and the trials of life, and God was moved with compassion towards Paul. Therefore, God bought and purchased Paul. Paul was now the slave of God, totally possessed by God. The truth is this. It is not just Paul. You and I, if we are true believers, we are also the slave of God. We too has been purchased and we have been bought with a price. And it is Jesus Christ who paid the price for us. So consider yourself being in a marketplace, being paraded for purchase with a price on you, and then someone purchased you, and that someone being Jesus Christ through the shedding of his blood on Calvary. So here we see that Paul understood his great call because of the love of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He meant that his will belonged totally to God. Likewise, we who are true believers, our will must be totally surrender and belong to God. He was completely subservient to God and owed total allegiance to the will of God. We too who are Christians, we must be subservient to God, and we too owe our total allegiance to the will of God. He meant that he had the highest and the most honored and kingly position in all the world. The greatest men of history have always been called the servants of God. And so as we take time to examine this text here and understanding the ministry of God's servants, it was the highest title of honor. The believer's slavery to God is no cowardly or shameful subjection. In fact, it is the position of honor. And I tell you the truth, if you're looking for honor, you would find the highest position of honor in submitting and being in subjection to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The honor that bestows upon a man the privilege and the responsibilities of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Moses was the slave of God, according to Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. Joshua was also the slave of God, according to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 14. David, that's right, King David was also the slave of God, according to 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 18. Paul was the slave of God himself, as he declared in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. The half-brother of Jesus Christ himself, James, was the slave of God, according to James chapter 1 and verse 1. And Jude was also the slave of God. Jude 1 records it for us. The prophets were all slaves of God, according to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Christian believers are said to be the slaves of Jesus Christ. When we read the book of Acts in chapter 2, in particular verse 18, Ephesians continue to let us know that this is part of the calling. The thought is this: the great need today is for men and women to become slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must become his slaves and do what he says. You see, each one of us, we're going to follow something or someone. We're going to adhere to some verse or some voice. And that voice that we need to adhere to, it must be the voice of God. Then and only then will the world be reached with the glorious news of eternal life. In St. John chapter 12 and verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, in him will my Father honor, according to St. John chapter 12 and verse 26. The Psalms tells us in the writing of David, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Saints of God, if we're going to be able to be the servant of the Lord, we're going to be a servant of the Lord because we have submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. In doing so, we have surrendered our will to Almighty God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So Paul is saying here that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word apostle means a person who is sent out or sent forth. An apostle is a representative, an ambassador, a person who is sent out into one country to represent another country. You see, Christ is sending you out, and Christ is sending me out. And he's sending us out as a representative. He's sending us out as an ambassador. What a privilege and what an honor. So you realize immediately what is bestowed upon you from humbly submitting your hand under the mighty hand of God, to be surrendered to God, to be a slave to Jesus Christ. It is an honorable position. And so Paul here in his writing in the book of Titus is explaining to us what it is to be a servant of the Lord, to be a servant of God, a person who is sent out into one's country to represent another country. This person is a person who has surrendered to that country. And the country that we're referring to, it is the kingdom of God. Three things happen here. Three things are true of the apostle. He belongs to the king or the country who sends him. That is, the country who sends him out. Not only that, he is commissioned to be sent out, and he possesses all the authority and the power of the person who sends him out. In other words, Paul possesses all the authority and the power of the person who sends him out. Likewise, when we surrender to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when we have entered into in heavenly realm, as the scripture declare, and we are sent out by God, by the Spirit of truth, then we are also commissioned, and we also possess all the authority and the power that comes and that represents the kingdom of God. No wonder it is an honorable position to be a servant of the Lord. This is the type of servanthood that we must long for. This is the type of servanthood that we need to be involved in. John 15 and 16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. See, God is looking for a few good men. God is looking for a few good women. Isaiah declare, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." Isaiah 6 and verse 8. You see, the purpose of God's servant is to stir up the believer's faith in acknowledging the truth. Note that the believers are called God's elect according to the text. They are the persons whom God has chosen to be his holy and beloved people. Today, God is calling you to a life of holiness. Today, God is calling you to be one of those individual that he has elected, that you too may be a servant of the Most High God. Believers have been elected to be holy. The word holy, it means to be separated or set apart. God called believers out of the world and away from the old life it offers, the old life of sin and death. He called the believers to be separated and set apart unto himself. And the new life he offers, the new life of righteousness and eternity. You see, believers have been elected to be the beloved of God. God has called believers to turn away from the old life that showed hatred towards God, the old life that rejected, rebelled, ignored, denied, and was constantly cursing in the face of God. God has called believers to be the beloved of God. The person who received his love in Christ Jesus and who allow him to show his love upon them. Simply stated, the elect of God, the holy and beloved of God, are those who have really believed and trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is these persons, the believers who really have faith in God and acknowledge the truth, which leads to godliness. The point is this: the servant of God builds upon the faith of believers. He and they are both believed in God and have committed their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in doing so, therefore, the servant of God, he stirs believers to have more and more faith in God. He stirs them to build their faith, to increase it, to grow more and more in their trust of God and of Christ. He labors day and night to turn men to Christ and to stir them to trust him. He knows that their only hope to overcome the sin and the debt of this world is to trust Christ. Therefore, he does all he can to teach them to trust his death and resurrection to deliver them. John 6 and 28 through 29 tells us, "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So, saints of God, unless our belief is placed in Jesus Christ, we will in no way overcome this world. It is through our faith in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone that we have the power and the authority as a servant of the Lord to overcome this world. The servant of God stirs believers to acknowledge the truth. That is, he stirs them to grow in the knowledge of the truth, to study the truth, to learn it, and to practice it. Why? Because of godliness. You see, godliness is to be the end and the very reason why we are to learn the truth. Therefore, he wants us to live like him now, to live godly, holy, and righteous lives. He wants us to show the world that he is real. Show them by letting his godliness live itself out in our lives. 2 Corinthians 7 and 1 tells us, Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. You see, when we examine the text, we see that there is a message here. And the message here is the message of the hope of eternal life that comes out of verse 2 and 3. This is unbelievable. It's almost like it's too good to be true. Yet it is true. There is eternal life. The glorious message of God's servant is nothing less than the message of deliverance from death, living forever and ever. First, the hope of eternal life has been promised by God himself. See, God has made a promise to us. There are two reasons. God cannot lie according to the text. God's nature is perfect love, and love does not lie. God's nature is perfect mortality and righteousness. God's nature, it is perfect truth. And once he speaks, he has spoken, and it shall be so. God gave us the promise of eternal life before the world began. God cannot lie. Therefore, what he promised before the world began will be. If we truly believe in God's Son, then the Lord Jesus Christ, he will live forever and ever. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he, according to the text in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Second, the hope of eternal life was revealed in God's word, revealed through preaching. God has given man a record of his promise, a record of eternal life. Where can man find this record? In God's word and in the preaching of God's word. As long as the earth stands, his word will stand, and some believers will be preaching the glorious message of eternal life. John 5 and 24. I tell you truth, whoever hears my word and believe him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. The hope of eternal life has been entrusted into the hand of Paul and into all other believers, to all the servants and the ministers of God. Note exactly what this verse says. God's word and the preaching of God's word have been committed to men by the commandment of God. God's word and preaching of his word are not an option. God commands that we take care of his word and that we preach it. All believers, all the servants and the ministers of God, the message of eternal life is to be proclaimed. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so sent I you. John chapter 20 and verse 21. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness. The hope of eternal life has been promised by God, our Savior. It is God the Father, as well as Christ, who loves and saves us. Therefore, we never have to die. God delivers us from sin, death, and judgment to come. The point is to see is that God is love. God is our Savior, and he loves to save us, to give us eternal life. Luke chapter 1 and verse 47 says, and my spirit had rejoiced in the God of my Savior. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. This is the message that comes to us in this word today. We are ministers and servants of God, and for this, we owe it all to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your word of truth. We pray, Father God, that on this day, that we may be able to come to the true knowledge and understanding, and we too may live a life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.